gut health is just foundational. This is where you start. Whatever condition that you have, you start with your gut because it's all effect. Let's say you have a skin rash or acne or some other type of issue. You could take topical treatments or use topical treatments, but you need to focus on your gut first and foremost. That's where you start. Whatever condition it is, you need to, it's foundational.
Life is all about relationships. Lovers, family, body, or money. How satisfied you are can be completely explained by how you relate to things around you. This is Sophie Jaffe, and together with my husband, Dr. Adi Jaffe, we are here to explore and teach you how to maximize your relationships and achieve a happier life. Let's get ignited.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this episode of the Ignited Relationships Podcast. I'm Adi Jaffe.
And I'm Sophie Jaffe.
And we just finished talking to Tina Anderson from Just Thrive Health. You know, we talk about biology and how important it is for your health and for your functioning in general. And she really just blew our minds in terms of some of the things and tips that she talked about.
Yeah, and I just love the layers of learning and knowledge that we get to share with you guys. Obviously, we know probiotics are good. Obviously, we know we should be taking probiotics, but which one should we take? How does it affect us?
What's the difference between them?
Yeah, what's the difference between them? Which ones actually can you pick up at the grocery store and they'll actually give you a good effect when you get home and take it after days or hours of purchasing? All of these things that come up. And, you know, I think a lot of us just kind of passively take different supplements because we hear about them and think we, quote, should.
Yep.
This interview really helps you understand the difference between these probiotics. And I ask those questions for me. I'm really curious. Should I be taking this? Why should I be taking this?
How often?
Do I really need to be taking something every day or twice a day? So listen to this interview. We handle so many questions for you. And I'm really excited. I'm excited to take this.
Yeah. We also talk not just about the probiotics. Yeah. We talk about other things you can do to improve your health. We talk about the mind-body, right? Again, I hate even calling it the mind-body connections because it's not that they have a connection. They are one and the same. And yeah. A lot of people don't understand that. So sometimes you end up doing things you think are healthy, but actually destroying not just your gut. And so you might have gas or indigestion or all that kind of stuff. But I'm talking like depression, anxiety, all the stuff that we really, really care about. And then Soph, you talked to her quite a bit about kids and how to incorporate this with kids, not necessarily in the supplement world, but like how do you make sure your kids are as healthy they can be? So you guys talk quite a bit about that, which is really important.
Yeah.
I think, so we kind of partnered with Thrive to give you a discount code and to really try to help you make sure that you take care of yourself. You know, if you do this stuff right, it reduces the probability you're going to need to go get medication for depression and anxiety later. It's going to reduce the probability that you end up with things like cancer or leaky gut, ulcers, and things like that. So it's really, really important.
The gut is everything. And we hear these things, you kind of hear these buzzwords, but there's a reason for it. Gut health is the most important microbiome, the bacteria in your body. You want to thrive, right?
You want to just thrive.
So just thrive.
Join these guys. Join us. You're going to love this. We'll see you after the commercial and we'll be right back.
This episode of the Ignited Podcast is brought to you by Philosophy Superfoods. The Philosophy offers cleanses and other nutritional products that are unlike any of the other supplements and detoxification programs on the market. Why? Because they actually nourish the body with whole, live, nutrient-rich foods instead of depriving you and leaving you hungry. Have you ever tried a cleanse only to find out that you can't make it through a whole day because you're starving? Ever try a superfood shake that made you nauseous because it was so disgusting you'd rather not eat? The Philosophy fix all that with a simple set of offerings that load up your body with nutrients while actually tasting good. Makes sense, right? Each of the Philosophy superfood and protein blends is vegan, raw, gluten-free, and has absolutely no filler ingredients. With over 15,000 satisfied customers, including some of the world's biggest celebrities like George Clooney, Gerard Butler, Leah Michelle, and over 10 years of experience, this is the best stuff you can get. To buy some or find out more info, go to our website, thephilosophy.com.
All right, everybody, welcome back to our conversational part of today's podcast episode. Really excited about this one. Tina, thank you so much for being with us.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, we got Tina from Just Thrive, Tina Anderson. She is the founder and CEO of a future probiotic gut microbiome company. You're all going to get really familiar with us. We love Just Thrive. And I'm so excited because I do think this is one of those things. I feel like in nutrition, people have gotten caught up to the concept that your bacteria matters. In mental health, I feel like people are far, far behind. So we're going to talk about all those things. But here's what I want to know more, first and foremost. I know as a founder, Sophie knows this as a founder, typically when you go through the work, when you pretzel your life in such a way that you put everything behind a company you believe in so much, so you're going to spend your entire life doing it, there's a story of how you got to doing that. What brought you to creating Just Thrive?
Yeah, great question. And it's been an interesting journey. I started out actually as an attorney. So I was working in litigation for many years, and I have three children. And at the time I had none. And so then I started having, you know, my first child, and I'm like, this is crazy. I cannot work these crazy hours. And so I decided to pivot completely and stay home, but also be able to work part-time as a general counsel for a family pharmaceutical company. And so that was great. My husband was working in the business as well. And we were like, this is wonderful. We're bringing these life-saving medications to people. We're changing the world and it's all great. But then after being in the pharmaceutical industry for many years, we just started to see a lot of the abuses in the industry. We saw the rampant overprescribing of medications. We saw with our own relatives. Actually, one example that happened in the industry was we had a pharmaceutical rep come into our office and be excited that we won this big bid with a huge hospital system. And he's like, now my job is to go to every cardiologist in this hospital system and lower the number that the doctors needed to prescribe the medicine for. So in essence, like encouraging doctors to prescribe a medicine when really it may not have been needed. And, you know, we were shocked in some respects, but then we started thinking about it. We saw family members who were on one pharmaceutical. The next thing you know, they were on 12 and really never getting better because one pharmaceutical caused, you know, joint pain. You know, they were taking something for stomach, then it caused joint pain, and then joint pain led to skin issues. And so next thing you know, they were on all these crazy medications and not getting better. So my husband and I both are really deep thinkers. We read a lot of Norman Vincent Peale, Wayne Dyer. We believed that we weren't doing our life's work and we just wanted to pivot. And so we started looking at the natural health and wellness space because that's the way we lived our lives with our three children. And we just decided, we went through a whole bunch of different, you know, ideas and all that. We ended up having this incredible opportunity to license these very exclusive, disrupting type of probiotic strains from London University, from a world-renowned probiotic expert out of London University. So It's definitely been the most gratifying career journey I've ever been on.
That's awesome. What I love about that story is, you know, there's always this common thread of I identified a need. I saw it in myself or in people really, really close to me. And I saw that nobody else was meeting it. I mean, Sophie, that's how you started philosophy.
Yeah. Philosophy started because I was vegan at the time and I just couldn't. I was a personal trainer and a yoga teacher. And I went to, like, you know, the fanciest gyms and the fanciest juice bars. And there just wasn't a plant-based protein or even like superfood blend that I wanted to take. And I just would then forgo it completely and figure it out on my own and put some different superfoods together in my own kitchen and then throw them in the smoothie. But it took a lot longer. It took a lot more time. It was way more expensive. And then I just started packaging it myself and selling it to my clients. And that's where it started. That's where philosophy started, was just out of my kitchen, out of a deep desire to have a high quality plant-based protein superfood blend that didn't have fillers, that didn't have soy, that didn't taste weird or chalky, right? And like having that level of integrity from the ingredients to the way it tastes and all of that. So,
yeah. And I always love to encourage people, like, that you see this success that follows when you do that, when you follow your passion. And I always want to encourage people to do that, you know, follow your passion because success will follow.
Yeah. So let's talk about this because we had a couple of discussions about microbiome and things of that nature. But first of all, it's been a long time. Secondly, there are always, always new angles and new perspectives and new ways to look at things. So let's let people know on the front end, when your gut's not doing what it's supposed to be doing, what happens? What conditions get caused? What are people, how do people know, oh, wait, what I'm struggling with might actually be caused by the wrong bacteria in my gut?
Yeah. Well, you know, actually, it's hard to find any condition that's not associated with an imbalance in your gut. And that's what I think is very shocking to people. You know, most people will associate gut problems with having constipation or diarrhea or gas and bloating or acid reflux, those types of things, indigestion. And those are certainly, you know, problems that are stemming from an imbalance in your gut. But people aren't thinking of Alzheimer's or dementia or anxiety, depression. Autoimmune, now people are starting to understand autoimmune, but like your immune system, you know, 80% of your immune system is in your gut. And, you know, heart disease, diabetes, cancer, all of these conditions truly stem from an imbalance in our gut. And I think the hardest thing for a lot of people to wrap their head around is that we are 10 times more bacteria than we are human. And this is really hard for people to understand, that our bacteria is really dictating our health. And yet we live in this incredibly antimicrobial world that is...
Yeah, especially right now.
Especially right now.
Especially right now. I mean, the hand sanitizer like drives me crazy. I'm like,
same.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
<Same.
laughs> Stop doing it.
I mean, I think, look, again, right, there are different aspects to this. There's the people who since birth kind of always sanitize everything and misunderstand the idea of why you need bacteria. But you know, what you mentioned, I think stories are always really important for people to connect to things. And so for instance, like I remember the first time I learned that termites don't actually eat wood.
Like, wow.
I mean, yeah. Being in biology class, termites don't eat wood. We always think of termites as a thing that destroys your house because they're eating the wood. They don't. Termites have bacteria. They have microorganisms in their gut. They eat the wood so that the microorganism digests the wood and then secrete the nutrition that the termites need. And we as people have the exact same thing happening in our bodies. And so we can't see it, which means we don't relate to it. But what you're saying that is really important for people to understand is bacteria is not something you're going to get rid of. And it's not something you should get rid of. If you live with no bacteria, your gut would stop being able to process the food that you eat. You need to understand that, right? Because it's the bacteria that is breaking down the food in the same way that it does in the rest of the world into the nutritional components that you then, yes, you can then digest, but you need them. It's not a question of is bacteria good or bad? It's what mix of bacteria do I need? And then you mentioned all these mental health conditions. And I want to hit on that in the Ignited Hero program. We have an entire section explaining to people, like, most of your serotonin and opioid receptors, for instance, are not in your brain. They're in your gut and in your GI tract. And if you don't take care of the chemical balance there, you're going to have increased pain. You're going to have increased anxiety, increased depression, increased mental fog and all those sorts of things. So all of those things are related to what you put in your body. Now, along with that, if we can kind of talk about what is it then that destroys it? Because a lot of people have no idea that some of the things that they think are healthy, or at least like one of the examples that comes up to me right away is like diet soda, for instance. The first time that I heard how terrible diet sodas are to destroying the good bacteria in your gut, I was floored. Yeah. And there are a lot of other things that people are drinking, eating, et cetera, that they think are the healthier options were actually causing and wreaking havoc.
Or maybe they don't necessarily think that it's the healthier option, but they don't realize how the severity of it. They don't realize how much damage they're doing. It's not just that they're getting fake sugars into their system and tricking their brains. It's much more beyond that.
Yeah. What I meant, I'm healthy. Like, well, I shouldn't drink a regular Coke because
of the sugar.
I'll drink a Diet Coke. That's the better version.
And and in a world where someone's maybe diabetic, that is the healthier option. However, in the long run, yes.
So let's talk about like what are the things that destroy it.
Yeah. So there are so many offenders, unfortunately, in the world. The whole processed food epidemic that we have right now, that people are just eating processed food like crazy. Sugar is a huge offender to our gut health. And, you know, and we're eating, and there's foods, you know, that shouldn't have sugar in it, that have so much sugar in it. I mean, yogurt, which is so funny. So many people think of yogurt as being beneficial to your gut microbiome. And you know, it could be beneficial, but it's most of them are loaded with sugar, which is so counterproductive, sugar. You know? So it's just all of those myths out there about that. And even things that you do, you know, people, there's a study that came out that showed that households that used antibacterial cleaning products actually had children with a higher incidence of allergies and autism and all of these, you know, autoimmune issues. So, you know, we're thinking we're doing these great things for our family, but yet they are counterproductive to our gut. And, you know, people think of bacteria as being bad. Well, really, less than 1% of bacteria is bad. It's like really a lot. There's a lot of good bacteria out there, and really having the good and bad bacteria balanced in our gut is what we need to do. But you know, lots of offenders, sugar, alcohol, stress is a huge component, a big offender to gut health. And people think that's so woo-woo or it's not out there. And there's science behind it. There's science showing that if you're stressed out, your gut, and that's the thing, like the gut sends signals to the brain and the brain sends signals to the gut. And
yes. Constantly.
Yeah. And you already know that. Yeah.
Well, no, but I think that still, that's really important for people to hear. It's not like, even when people talk about the mind-body connection, we've said this a few times on here. It's not the mind-body connection. They are one and the same. It's your mind is an effect of how your body is functioning, and your psyche is constantly interacting with your body. It's not that they're connected. Like, your brain is a physical part of your body. It gets the blood and it gets the oxygen. It gets everything else. It gets the nutrients from the rest of your body. And what we're learning is these things that we think are limited. Oh, these are neurotransmitters. These are hormones. That's not true. They actually travel throughout your body.
It's all interconnected.
It's not.
Yeah.
It's almost like we have to stop thinking about it as the mind-body connection, just like start calling it the mind-body or something like that. So that people don't think, separation. They're connected, but they're not the same. They are one and the same. And there's a study with animals that took like animals that are kind of genetically modified to be depressed and hopeless and kind of sedentary. And they literally removed the gut juice from their belly, put it in the bodies of normal functioning mice. And the normal functioning mice started behaving like the depressed mice. And when you realize how important what is in your gut, these offenders become, right? Like, you're not cutting back sugar because you want to lose weight. You're cutting back sugar because if you don't do it, you're going to be more depressed and anxious and stressed out.
Exactly. Exactly. That is the biggest key, is that you're, you know, and I always say, like, gut health is just foundational. This is where you start. Whatever condition that you have, you start with your gut, because it's all effect. Let's say you have a skin rash or acne or some other type of issue. You could take topical treatments or use topical treatments, but you need to focus on your gut first and foremost. That's where you start. Whatever condition it is, you need to, it's foundational. And yeah, I couldn't agree with you more.
So I have tips that I give. Sophie, I'm sure you have tips you give your people. Drinking a lot of water. I used to be terrible at this. Sophie would literally look at me and be like, how are you alive?
I don't know how he survived. I don't. I'm someone who definitely exaggerates to tell a story and, you know, wants to make it a little bit more exciting by adding a few numbers or making it really ridiculous sounding. Adi did not drink water.
I didn't at all.
He did not drink water. And we met at UCLA.
For like 20 years.
We'd go on runs together. We just met. I'm 20. He's 27 and a half. And we met and we're so young and vibrant. And we go on these long runs. And he had like a sip of water when we were done. And that was it all day. Like, how are you surviving? You're like an actual camel. And he's from Israel. So I'm like, I don't know. Maybe because he's born in Israel. Yeah.
I just never drank water. And it's only in the last few years that I open up my day with one of these. And my job is to drink like 3 or 4 of these minimum a day.
Yeah.
And I never function like that. But like, I learned that drinking water will help your gut microbiome by itself. Cutting sugar, we talked about that. So I talk to people, I like giving people practical tips. So let's move into this a little bit, because, okay, maybe cutting sugar out of your diet is good for you. The vast majority of people listening right now are not about to cut sugar out of their diet. So what I've done in my own life is, okay, we'll actively keep reducing it. What are the tips that you give people? And we'll obviously move into the actual taking of probiotics. Yeah. What are the tips you give people to improve their gut health?
Yeah. Well, first of all, I completely agree with you that, I mean, no one's going to cut out sugar, and nor should they. I mean, we have to have some pleasure in our life too. So, but it's just about limiting it. And I always encourage people, just start with baby steps, you know, start with baby steps, and they make profound changes over the course of time. Uh-huh. And I think that's what people forget. But, so I would, of course, you know, of course, limiting alcohol too, you know, that's unfortunately, one thing that is very offensive to your gut health. But again, it's just about baby steps, maybe cut back, you know, however many drinks you have, that kind of thing. The sugar. The other interesting thing is eating a diverse group of foods. As a country, we are not, as the Western population, we are not eating a diverse group of foods. One of the biggest things that experts would all agree is if you have a healthy gut, you have a diverse microbiome, like you have diversity in the bacteria in your gut. And one of the ways to get there is by eating a diverse group of foods, particularly going to ethnic type of grocery stores and looking for different types of foods that you wouldn't ordinarily get. But we are such creatures of habit, myself included. You know, you just, you know, you make something, everyone likes it and it's easy. And we all know we have kids, you're trying to do things that are easy, but it's really important to eat a nice diverse group of foods that are out there.
Yeah. I mean, I also feel like for parents that are maybe listening, you may have gotten into like a rut or a bad habit of just giving the kids what they like because it makes them happy, but actually
or at least keeps them quiet
or keeps them quiet. It makes it easier. You think it makes it easier, but in the long run, you're giving them such a gift. It's kind of like introducing language, a second, a third language at an early age, creating a beautiful, healthy palette of so many different options and colors. You're giving them the greatest gift because later in life, they will be less picky. They will have a, and like you said, you're helping, you're literally helping their gut and their brain and their bodies develop. And so for us, it's like, yes, they can be particular about what they choose when we go to different restaurants. If we go to sushi and they only want like seaweed, edamame, and rice, it's at least something, right?
And it's different than like, you know, chicken nuggets and fries only,
right?
Right. But I think, no, that's a great point.
And we do introduce, like, we don't let them get away with not eating something when we go out to Thai. We don't let them get away with not eating something when we go to Middle Eastern. Like,
well, not Middle Eastern. So yeah. I think the Middle Eastern diet alone kind of incorporates a lot of different fruits and vegetables
and colors, vitamins. Yes. And it's, again, it's like just being comfortable. It's like wherever you go, being comfortable, finding something that you can feel at ease with, whether it's food or people. Like, we really want our kids to feel comfortable in who they are, in their bodies, in their gut, in their mind, around other people. They can go anywhere, talk to anyone and be comfortable. And that confidence comes from just showing them and guiding them and saying, like, we're going to this, we're going to, you know, what's the one where you eat with your hands? Ethiopian food.
Oh, okay.
It's so, have you ever eaten Ethiopian?
No, I'm so excited now though.
Oh my gosh. It's so much fun. And it's, it's this, you know, and
I'll write that down.
Yes. And that connection, even for me personally, in my own healing through food and intuitive eating, touching food with my hands and eating it and like that feel, that connection instead of fork and knife really helped me heal. Cause it's like, oh, I'm eating this food. It becomes more sensual, more of a practice. And in Ethiopian food, the whole thing is done with your hands and you get to wrap it up in this beautiful spongy bread. And, and it's like, it becomes an experience. So no matter what, it's like, yes, we've got some parents out there who say, my kids only like chicken nuggets and pizza. Like, well, I also really like chicken nuggets and pizza, but I'm not going to limit myself to that. And we're only hurting ourselves by limiting that.
So I love the variety. The variety is great. Sugar, water, variety.
Lots of
any
colors.
Any other like big tips that you know of?
The big limiting stress. So, you know, like meditation and that type of thing, I would definitely focus on, you know, doing breath work or meditation or whatever it might be. But I just have to back up on Sophie's point, because I loved that you said that is a gift to parents. And I just think that as we, as a society, always want to make our kids happy, we want to make them, and we don't realize the long-term benefits of that. We were very much the same way with our kids and having them make sure they ate everything. And it's like, and now I want to just plead to parents that truly it pays off. I have adult children right now and they eat, have a full palate, and they just, and I just love it. And I think it's such a gift. So I'm glad you brought that up. But anyway, back to all the good things to do is stress, really limiting stress and making baby steps in your lifestyle, whether it's, you know, breath work, whether it's meditation, whether it's going for a walk every once in a while, those things really, really are important. Mm. You know, talking to someone, journaling, all those things really do make a difference, because we knew that the gut was sending brain, or the brain was sending signals to the gut. We now are just starting to realize that the gut is sending signals back up to the brain. There is constant communication going back and forth, and we cannot, you know, emphasize that enough. So, you know, slowing down your life, trying to, you know, be more mindful and calm really will help with your gut health as well.
Love it. So now let's move to the next piece, right? Which is, okay, so you do these things to create a solid foundation. And then the idea of whether it's vitamin supplementation or probiotics is to seed your body to help create the basic building blocks that can help your body then do its job better. And so probiotics, the way I understand it, but I want you to explain them because you'll know them a lot better, obviously. It's like seeding the types of probiotics or the type of bacteria that you want
healthy bacteria
to be in your gut, which kind of helps give them an advantage by, you know, raising their numbers, et cetera. Can you get into that a little bit?
Yeah. So the microbiome is like an ecosystem, and you've got the good bacteria and the bad bacteria, and it's just about a balance. So we're not trying to go in there and get rid of all of the bad bacteria. We're really trying to create a balance and making sure that the beneficial bacteria is outweighing the pathogenic bacteria. So we really want to focus on have like a almost reconditioning the gut. And you know, the best analogy I'd love to use is like a garden. And so if you have a garden and the garden's been stepped on and trampled on and there's weeds growing all over, you want something that could go in there and get rid of the weeds and also bring those plants that have been stepped on and trampled on back to life. So when you compare it to your gut, you want something that could go in there and help bring those beneficial bacteria back to life, or, you know, more thriving, and then get rid of some of the, you know, the pathogenic bacteria and diminish the amount of the pathogenic bacteria.
Okay. Now, probiotics have been around for a while, but they're, I mean, I know personally for myself, I never know which one to take. I never know which one is good. I don't understand the difference even between them. But what I understand is, first of all, not all are the same. And so you really have to understand which ones are the beneficial ones.
There's lots of different strains, right?
Yeah. And then like, and then actually how they get delivered, right? So it's like, I know from other medicines, there are medicines that you can only take and ingest because they have to be processed by your liver for them to work. There are ones that get destroyed in your gut. And so you actually can't take them by mouth, because if you do, your gut will completely destroy them. And then it's as if you didn't take anything. So you have to take, like, you have to take an injection or a subcutaneous like deposit or something like that to make that work.
Right.
I know the same thing is also true for probiotics, right? It sounds simple to just eat some bacteria that is supposed to be good for you, but then your gut and the process of getting it into your gut can actually end up destroying the thing that you did, which makes it completely null.
Right.
You guys talk about something called spore-based probiotics. Can you explain to me why that's different?
Right. So a spore-based probiotic is a completely different category of probiotics. And the spore just means it has this endospore shell around itself. And again, this is not something that we've enterocoded or we have engineered. This is the way these strains were found in nature, you know, years ago when we had clean soil. So decades ago. So yeah, it's been a while since we had that. And, but the majority of other probiotics on the market, like 90% of the other types of probiotics, are made up of lactobacillus and bifidobacterium cells. Mm. And so those types of bacteria are very sensitive organisms. We know this because most of them die before they ever get to the intestines. Mm. You know, they're live bacteria. So a lot of them need to be, in order to be defined as a probiotic, it needs to be a live bacterial organism that arrives alive in the intestines. Mm. So they don't need to be alive in the refrigerator at the store. They need to be alive in your intestines. The overwhelming majority of probiotics never make it to that journey alive.
Wow.
They go, you know, you get them from the grocery store in the refrigerator, you swallow them. So let's just assume that they survive that trip from the grocery store to your refrigerator. Now you put them, you swallow them, and now it's hit 98.6, your body temperature, which is 98.6. They can't even withstand the room temperature of a store shelf. So how would they ever survive your body temperature, which is 98.6? But let's say they did. now they're faced with the stomach acid, you know, the acidic environment in the stomach, and they are getting destroyed. So by the time they get to the intestines, to the small intestine and the rest of your digestive tract, they are dead bacteria. So it's pretty much dead bacterial therapy. There are studies that show that dead bacteria may provide some type of symptomatic relief, but they're not changing that garden. They're not the gardener of the gut. The spore-based bacteria are a completely different category. We were disruptors in the industry when we came in. But yet when we would go talk to health food stores, when we would talk to other medical experts, they'd be like, this makes perfect sense. You know, It makes sense that most probiotics arrive dead in the intestines. So spores are actually dormant. When you get them in the bottle, they're dormant. You swallow them. They're not alive. They're dormant. They get through the stomach acid, dormant. It's not till they hit the intestines that they take their endospore shell off. And that's when they go into their live vegetative cell state. And when they get there, they start to read the microbial environment. So they're very intelligent bacteria, and they have the ability to read, like to see, is there, you know, more pathogenic bacteria in this gut? They're going to do something different in your gut than they're going to do in my gut, depending on, you know, we look at it like going back to that garden analogy. It's like they're the gardener of the gut. They're like, okay, you know, there's more weeds in this garden, so we're going to get rid of these weeds. And then we're going to, you know, help these plants that are stepped on and trampled on but a different garden would be different. So they're the gardener of the gut. They're going in and really making a true microbial change.
What makes it take its shell off, though, in the gut?
Yeah. Well, because this is the way nature intended them. It's not, we have done nothing to them. They just recognize that they're gut commensal organisms, meaning they belong in the gut. So they recognize it as their home, and then they take the shell off. Where, you know, you'll see a lot of other conventional probiotics on the market, and they'll say, we've enterocoded them. And that's engineering them. They're basically engineering them. And so that's fine. They may take their shell off when they go into the small intestine, but now you've got the bile salts and you've got all other types of things that are destroying those lactobacillus and bifidobacterium type of strains. So
crazy.
It's nature. And that's why we always go back to nature, and everything we try to do and bring out is going back to the way we evolved.
So it's the same kind of concept as like a plant spore, right?
The mushroom?
The plant releases a spore, and then until it gets activated, it can sit there for years, decades, centuries. It's not dying because it doesn't require a lot of energy to maintain itself, but it's not active. It's never going to flower or grow by itself until it gets activated. And different spores require different sorts of things to get activated. Now, the goal of bacteria in the universe, if you think of kind of like evolution, is just to multiply. It's just to make more bacteria. And so what you're saying is, these spores are particularly relevant to human gut or to animal gut. And they know essentially, if I go into this gut, I can flourish and I can make many, many more bacteria of my kind. And that way, probably through feces and like other excretion later, continue to multiply in the world, in the universe. And they're kind of specially made for that.
And help your own bacteria come back to life and help your own bacteria, you know, flourish in the gut. So that's the really interesting thing about these bacillus spores is they have the ability to actually assist other bacteria that's already present in your gut that maybe has been depressed or depleted. And that's really why it's been so effective and so different for so many people.
That's awesome. So if we can talk a little bit about some of the specifics, like, again, I know a very little bit about this. So I understand the overall concept, but does everybody need the same probiotics? Do you take different probiotics for different sorts of presenting problems? If there are these kind of smart probiotics, when you take them, do they just adjust? Or is it even within that you need different kinds? I know, for instance, sometimes I've heard that, for instance, for that mind-body piece, that there are specific strains that have been shown to be more or less effective for depression, anxiety, and things of that nature versus necessarily GI function per se. What have you guys done in order to be able to help people target any of the specific issues that they're dealing with?
Yeah, well, that's an awesome question because basically you know, people will ask that all the time, because there's people that will come to us, like they have a particular issue that they're trying to resolve. And so they come to us and they take it. But then there's people who don't have issues, but they just know that our gut is really, the gut is really important, and they want to maintain and focus on prevention of anything and maintenance of health. And the answer is yes and yes. And they all need to be taking it. And the reason, and it's so, I know it sounds so self-serving when I talk about this, but I mean it so passionately from the very bottom of my heart, because everybody's gut is being attacked on a daily basis, from the toxins in our environment to the world we live in, you know, from the pesticides and the, you know, glyphosate that's sprayed all over our food supply. All of these things are wreaking havoc on our guts on a daily basis. So that's why it's really important. And like you said, yes, these are very intelligent bacteria, and they actually will do something different in your gut than they will in mine. So whether somebody has a lot of really bad gut issues, I would say take one capsule a day. Whether somebody is just trying to maintain health, I would say take one capsule a day. Or you could even, if cost is an issue, you could always do one every other day. But you're so much better off getting a probiotic that actually gets to the intestines alive, you know, rather than buying a less expensive probiotic that is going to be dead bacteria when you get there. So, and then some people could take maybe, you know, two a day if maybe they're really seeing some issues resolve and they want to, or if they're on an antibiotic, which is very disruptive to our gut, you could take them at the same time. We have a study that showed that these strains survive the presence of an antibiotic. We are very, very research-based. We did a double-blind human clinical trial on leaky gut, which is profound. There's not only is there another probiotic that I know of that has a double-blind human clinical trial on it, but I don't know of another pharmaceutical that even has a study of that magnitude. So it's what these strains are doing is helping balance the bacteria, and they're also helping seal up that gut lining, which is really, really important because we don't want a leaky gut. So yeah, it would just be, and people will say this to me all the time, like, but should I really take it all the time? And it's like, well, our ancestors used to get these strains every day. I mean, they would eat off of the land, they would eat roots and tubers, and they would get these Bacillus strains on a daily basis. So we evolved to be getting these strains on a daily basis.
I have a question though. I mean, my intuition tells me that if I'm eating a well-balanced array of colors, if I'm, you know, getting tons of water, good rest, if I have like a wellness protocol for myself, that I'm really balanced, I'm getting good solid sleep, I have a good practice around meditation and stress relief, I'm, you know, really taking care of myself, I'm getting the nutrition I need, getting a good amount of like probiotic rich foods, you know, getting sauerkraut and papaya and like just all these things that help. Like my intuition would say, have a probiotic once a week, have a probiotic when you're feeling off. Personally, I have like this, like, I don't know, innate desire to not take supplements every single day. I don't necessarily take a vitamin every day. I don't take anything every day because I feel like I shouldn't, I don't even take my own superfoods every day because I want to give it a break. Mm-hmm. And be able to kind of adjust to those adaptogens and superfoods. So, I mean, if you're getting the right nutrition and the right balance and you're not too stressed and you're not hurting your gut in that way, and you're not doing like abrasive things and drinking too much, et cetera, is there a world in which you think you could just limit it to a few times a month because your flora and your microbiome is just healthy?
Absolutely. And I think that I think the other thing is that you have to listen to yourself and you have to do all this. I think you are probably more of a unicorn in this world. And, you know, unfortunately people aren't living this type of life, and people are, you know, and the thing with, like fermented foods, like sauerkraut, and I am a huge fan of fermented foods. I eat them very regularly. They are just not a replacement for a probiotic that's going to get to the intestines. So just like lactobacillus probiotic supplements would die in the intestines, so will the lactobacillus and bifidobacterium that's produced from fermented foods. They will die, but they are so nutrient rich. They are still very supportive of your gut health. They just aren't necessarily a replacement for a probiotic. But I could not agree with you more. I mean, in fact, we have many other supplements that we sell and that are really, you know, like we have a prebiotic, and I always tell people, if you're eating a lot of prebiotic foods, do not worry about taking the prebiotic. But with the probiotic, these strains, these particular bacillus strains, we can't really find they are not in the food supply anymore. They are, if you go to like some tribe in Tanzania or, you know, somewhere where the land has not been touched in years and years. So you could get those strains, but if you're feeling good and absolutely take it every other day, every third day, take it 3 times a month, whatever you're looking at. And I agree. I take a break from my supplements and I take a ton of supplements, but you know, I think I take a break myself too. I agree.
Is there a way to test how your gut's doing?
Yeah. I mean, it's so funny because people will ask me like, how do I know if I have a leaky gut? And the thing is most, you know, if you have an allergy or an autoimmune issue, you pretty much for sure have a leaky gut. I mean, we know 90% of the people who have an autoimmune issue or an allergy, a food allergy, have a leaky gut.
Why are you pointing at me? I have no stress. I've never had any stress. I've always eaten the healthiest foods.
He has so many allergies. He's like allergic to our dog, allergic to the air, like allergic to dust.
I grew up in Israel, but you know, it's not that I eat incredibly unhealthy food, but paying attention to it was never relevant. I was a latchkey kid. So most of the week I would like drop my stuff off from school, go pick up my sister and like go, you know, pizza and a Coke. Like that was literally my meal probably 4 or 5 days a week.
I mean, you talk about having like a 2-liter soda.
That was later. That was later in life. But yes, but I'm saying like since childhood, not like health-based eating was not an issue. My dad died in his late 50s from cancer.
Oh, wow.
Honestly, just because of stress and diet. Yeah. Like
he
would have been so healthy. His family had a history of actually very long life. He was one of the few people to die that young, but he was an incredibly stressed out guy who never paid attention to healthy eating. And that's something I beat myself up about because I didn't know enough to know how to change that even towards the end. But yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think Sophie talks about it as somebody who came from, you know, she had a holistic nurse practitioner as a mom and ate in a very different way. Like I'm about to say this and it's crazy when I hear it, but I've heard of like, you know, parents putting soda in their kids' bottles because the sugar would quiet them. And first of all, let me just be clear. I get it, right? If your baby's crying constantly and you don't have money for support and you're stuck by yourself, you'll do whatever it
takes
to
quiet them. It's also cheaper than formula.
Yeah, it's cheaper than formula. I get the why. The problem, as you pointed out before, Tina, is you don't understand the long-term damage of what you're doing. And so I tell this to parents all the time. Look, if I took my kids when I take my kids through the candy aisle in the store because I'm trying to get to something else, they want every chocolate. They want every candy bar. They want every hard candy, soft candy, gum.
And they may fall apart in that moment.
Early on, they probably will fall apart until you go, look, you can't have it. We can buy one and you can have it over the next week or month, but you're not buying all this. And as they fall apart around you, it's your job as a parent to some extent to know how to differentiate. The problem is people don't even understand this.
Yeah.
So they don't know that they're supposed to watch out for this. Like I said, like I've been with you for 16 years, so I know that this isn't right. But like people drink Diet Coke because it's the better option than drinking Coke. That's why they do it. Oh, there's too much sugar in Coca-Cola or Pepsi or whatever the hell you want to drink. Mm-hmm. If I go the diet route, it's better. When I learned that aspartame and all these new fake sugars actually literally kill the gut bacteria. Mm-hmm. Sugar, it's weird, right? So this is maybe something we should explain. Sugar is what bacteria feed on. So when you overload your gut with sugar, what you're doing is you're creating an imbalance, right? Is that right? It's like,
oh yeah. Yeah. And the yeast overgrowth too. Yeast feeds on sugar and absolutely.
So what you're doing is you're creating an imbalance by giving so much sugar in there that all your bacteria is going crazy, including yeast and some of the things that cause real problems. That's candida and all that stuff, right? So,
well, yeah, actually I have to interrupt you for one second because I'm laughing because that we have the saying that like the bacteria made me eat a cupcake. My bacteria made me eat a cupcake. I mean, that yeast, it's just this never ending cycle. It's your gut microbiome that's telling you that you want the cupcake or you want the sugar because it's feeding the yeast. And the more cupcakes you eat and the more sugar you're eating, it's creating more yeast you have. And so it's a shame that people don't, that's why it's so addicting. I mean, sugar is addicting. It's 100%. Very, 100%. People are addicted to sugar, and we just have to, and we've had so many customer testimonials that would say, I have less sugar cravings. And it makes perfect sense because this is helping get rid of, competitively exclude that yeast overgrowth in the gut. So it's amazing.
Yeah. So, you know, a lot of people listening right now, if you've been listening to this for a while, you've heard us talk about this, but again, it's important to point out, like, you know, for my kids. So we haven't eliminated sugar. I don't even know what that would look like, but like, for instance, I have a rule, right? So you look, if you've looked at kids' cereal, if you looked at cereal at all in the aisle, it'll make you throw up when you understand what we're about to talk about.
Well, and it's marketing, so it'll look like it's a healthier cereal, and it's just not.
Some of these cereals have 24 grams of sugar per serving. I want somebody to take out like a tablespoon, like a kitchen tablespoon measuring thing. A tablespoon of sugar will weigh anywhere from, like, you know, 8 to 10 grams or so. I want you to put two, not regular, like regular tablespoon, like a measuring tablespoon, put three of those in a cup. That's what you're putting in every small bowl of cereal in your kid's morning. Just so you were clear, that doesn't include the milk. It doesn't include anything else. It's just the cereal. So what I said to my kids is, look, you don't have to eat cereal that has no sugar in it, but we limit it. Literally 9 grams of sugar is where your limit is. Mm-hmm. Go pick whatever you want, as long as it fits that criteria.
I love that.
You know, did they love it? No, they freaking hated it at first. Sophie lets them every once in a while. She lets them have like a 12 grams of sugar cereal, right? Still like one of the healthier ones, but they exceed it. But it was so obvious to me when they would have that, they didn't want to eat anything else. They just wanted more of that. And they're not wanting more of it because they're like, oh, this is really good for me. They're wanting more of it because it's sweet and the sugar. And that's something they're going to deal with for the rest of their life if I let them do it.
Yeah. And I love that you're doing that. I love that you guys use your platform to share this message with parents, because I think it is so not, it's not shared enough with people. One of the things I know we did as parents years ago, we had them watch a documentary about sugar. And I think empowering your kids, you know, to have them, you know, understand that you are being marketed to, you are being tricked, you are being, you know, forced to, you know, almost forced to have all of these sugary drinks. And my son, to this day, I mean, he's 18 years old and he literally will not eat or drink Gatorade. He's going to college to play sports. And it's like, he still won't drink a Gatorade because we taught him that, you know, drink water. That doesn't replenish you anymore. It's just loaded with sugar, which is counterproductive to you. So I love that you guys are doing that, because I think it's really important.
I have a question about super extreme living, though, because for me, I again, intuitively feel like, for a while, I remember my mom, we have an older sister, she's Adid's age, and my mom with her first daughter was like super extreme and wouldn't let my sister have any sugar, nothing. And now my sister, she's like, look, I've dealt with crazy imbalances. Like, I binged eating sugar. Like, when I get it, I can't stop. And, you know, so there's these extremes and imbalances. And I'm wondering, just from your expert opinion on probiotics and the gut, what happens when you completely remove sugar for these people that are keto, or like just completely like sugar is the enemy? Like, literally, even fruit sugars and stuff. Cause, like, for me, I thrive on fruit sugars. Like, I go to, you know, Mexico and I eat nothing but fruit all day and I'm thriving. I'm my thinnest. I'm moving with so much energy and good vibes, and my gut is happy and my skin is glowing. So, when you completely remove all sugars, what happens?
Yeah. No, and I am not a proponent of that at all. And my son, I just said, same thing, kind of, these are the choices that you have, you know, these. And so you could, if you want to eat your sugar or drink your sugar out of a Gatorade, then go right at it. But I want him to
moderate.
That's all it is. And choices, and just being conscious. I think if you empower your kids to be conscious about what they're taking in, I think it's really beneficial. But I could not agree with you more. In fact, we live in this world where we're eliminating foods like crazy. Obviously, people have allergies like crazy. And remember, I was talking about diverse group of foods. I think the worst thing we could be doing is eliminating foods and, yeah. and being stuck in these silos. And like my husband and I went through a period where we weren't eating any sweets at all, nothing. And then all of a sudden I realized my kids, it's a beautiful summer day in Chicago. And we're like, oh, let's go out for ice cream. And I'm like, okay, I'll go, but I'm not going to eat anything. And I'm like, this is ridiculous, you know? Yeah. And then I kind of, my eyes opened up and I'm like, okay, I'm not going to do that. And so of course I'll have sugar, you know, I'll have sweets every once in a while and all of that. And I don't have any problem with that. And you are absolutely right. We can't get into these silos of I eat this way or I eat that. Like we need to know sugar is not good for us. And so we should avoid it and be conscious of when we're going to eat it.
Same as alcohol, same as other things.
Exactly. Yep. Exactly. I could and not then, agree and then with also, you more.
Even within there, and we don't need to get super crazy deep into the discussion of sugar, but even within that, right, there are grades. So like, you know, corn syrup, what am I thinking of? The
high fructose corn syrup.
High fructose corn syrup.
Yeah.
Just eliminate that shit. Right. Just get rid of it.
Yeah. Easy. That one, it's easy. Yeah.
That one you can just get rid of.
Yep.
Not good for Fine, you. Super healthier. High concentrated. Yeah. That's literally like engineered stuff to deliver pinpoint like sugar delivery into your body. You don't need that, right? And the closer to natural you can get, the better it is, right? And so I think we can, there are gradations and moderate ways of approaching all of this, right? If you can have more natural versus more refined sugar, that's just better for you. It's just, why? Because it includes other little components, other things that are in the cane from the beginning. Like, I think in general in life, what we're realizing, even when it comes to processed foods, I tell all the people that I work with, look at the can, look at the thing that you're eating, look at the ingredients of what it is you're buying. If you can't pronounce all of it, just think about whether that's something you want in your body. Like, I don't know what this thing is. Do I want it in my body? Not so much. I don't really need it. Do I need my food to be colored blue and yellow in order for me to feel better about it? Probably not. I'm okay without colors, you know? And so those are tiny little decisions that people get to make. If you could recommend to somebody who has a pretty, let's say a pretty normal way of eating, not Sophie's way of eating, they haven't incorporated a lot of this kind of stuff. We talked about the water. We talked about the cutting back the sugar. What products would you recommend for somebody to get started with if they don't even know if they have issues or not? They just, you know, they have a typical American diet.
Yeah, I always recommend that you start with the gut first. So a spore-based probiotic would be, because the reason is that we know that if our gut is inflamed, we're not absorbing nutrients. So you could be eating as healthy as you want, but if you have any inflammation, and a lot of times we don't know if we have inflammation or not, you're not absorbing the nutrients. So you want to make sure that your foundation is a spore-based probiotic.
That's a good point.
That's great.
Yeah. And we are not, you know, we used to think we are who we are what we eat. We are what we absorb. And that's a very big distinction. So I would do that as far as like other supplements that are not gut health related. I mean, I personally think most people need to be taking magnesium. I think 90% of the population is deficient in magnesium. So, and that's probably why everyone's so stressed out all the time. So,
and there's two different kinds of magnesium, right?
There's actually like, I think 7 different forms of magnesium. And what you see a lot is the glycinate the glycinate is the one that doesn't give you loose stools. The citrate sometimes will give people loose stools. So, I don't know. One of my doctors always recommend the glycinate. So, but there's a couple companies out there that have some great,
we take it almost every night and it helps us with sleep and
It's good. It's really good.
It's not like melatonin, where melatonin is going to, it's going to like lessen your ability to produce your own melatonin if you're taking it too often, where magnesium is truly probably a deficiency in most people. I mean, I take, a probiotic, my probiotic or prebiotic, those are important to me. I actually am not a, huge salad eater. I don't love salad, but I eat it. Like when you were talking about eliminating foods, I mean, our focus should be on adding more foods in, and all those foods that we add in should be like, I look at them as like a supplement. Like I eat salad every single day. And I look at it as like, look at how I'm feeding my body. And
absolutely. You
know, yeah.
I'm completely aligned with that. And with our kids, I do the same thing. Like throughout the day, I make them a snack plate. On that snack plate is every color, vegetables, fruit, some crackers with like different types of dips, with beet dips and ones with garlic and things that I just really want them to get as their supplements and vitamins and nutrients and colors is on that plate. If they've had that snack plate throughout the day, I usually give it to them when they're the hungriest. So mid-afternoon or mid-morning when I know that they're really hungry and ravenous, and they fill up on that. They eat it so quickly. And then I feel good. And I'm like, okay, you guys can have like hot dogs for dinner, whatever, yeah, you know, right.
A gift. I wish I did that with my kids when I had not evolved to the point where I am now, but at least I got them a little bit. So,
yeah. So parents just know, like, putting out like a bunch of different vegetables and fruit and just being like, this is your snack, especially when they're hungry. Like, don't put it out right after lunch.
Yeah.
Put it out when they're really hungry. A lot of colors and crisp, cold peppers and cucumbers and all the things. And then they get to kind of pick and decide. And, you know, I just make sure that it's empty when it comes back to me, you know, they're not getting fed anything else until that's done.
I love that. I love that.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for this. This was so informative and lovely. And we learned so much. I hope our listeners are so excited to kind of geek out on the gut and just realize it's all connected. And maybe if you're having an issue with your mood or depression or having trouble with sleep or digestion, like,
yeah, you're staying up at night because your stomach feels off and you can't fall asleep. And now you just realize, hey, that might be magnesium and me needing some probiotics in order to make all that go get better.
Yeah, and then your immune system too. I mean, we cannot forget how important that we're all so focused on the immune
system.
Right
now.
Especially right now.
Yeah. Our immune system doesn't even get signaled unless your microbiome, signals your immune cells. So the most important thing we need to focus on with immune health is our gut microbiome.
Yep.
So good. So good. I didn't tell you this before. For all the listeners, we're going to pressure Tina to give us a discount code.
Absolutely.
So that you guys can get some stuff for yourself and take care of yourself. Because that's really, in the end, the whole point. And we'd love to give you the best of the best. So we'll have some links and some codes and stuff like that for you right here below.
Where can everyone find you?
JustThriveHealth.com is our website. And on Instagram, it's JustThriveHealth. So yeah, if anyone has questions, our customer service team's incredible and whatever you need. So thank you guys.
Awesome.
Thanks for the great work you're doing. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you so much for being on here. Thanks for all the work that you do. And thanks for deciding to leave that old career to do this and help people.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah.
Have an amazing day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye, everybody.
Thank you, everybody, for listening to the Ignited Podcast. We are so happy to have you along for this ride. Please go and subscribe to this. Leave us a review. We love hearing from you. And if you want more, don't forget to go to ignited.com, where all the podcast episodes are available with show notes and so many of the little details and links from each one of these interviews. And you can look at all the future events that we have going on, all the things that make Ignited so special, even beyond this recording. Again, thank you so much for joining us. We will see you next week.